Well, good morning, everybody. It's so good to see you here in person. It's good to worship with you online. If you're worshiping online, especially for those on Facebook or YouTube, take a moment. Let us know you're out there. Just say hi. Say, I love you, church. Good to worship together. It's great to interact, whether it's in person or online. Before we open up God's Word, I want to take a moment to thank Pastor Mark for sharing such an encouraging message last Sunday. I really appreciate the message that God brought to us through Pastor Mark on the shepherds and the sheep last week as Joanne and I were traveling. We were in your neck of the woods back in Arizona, and so we were there thinking of you back here, and so thank you, Pastor Mark, for just your words of wisdom and encouragement. I have some exciting news. We have a new addition to our church family. On Friday, Daniel Edward was born to April and Alex Lewis. Both baby and mom are doing so well. So a huge congratulations to April and Alex and big sister Sophia and grandparents Stu and Gail Laurie. And so if you're watching out there, congratulations. And we look forward to seeing Daniel in person as he continues to grow in the Lord. And so what a wonderful thing it is to welcome a precious baby into the church family. And then one final quick word of encouragement before we get into God's Word. Next week is our final outdoor worship here in the parking lot before we make our way indoors on May 2nd. It has been an incredible journey, week in and week out. And get this, you know, in all our weeks here, in all the months, we've only had one rain out. And that was really early on. So that's something to be thankful for. We've had a little wind, right? A few bad hair days, but that's okay. And so we have today and then next Sunday. And when you come on May 2nd, we'll be back indoors. Well, I'm thankful to open God's Word with you this morning. And I have a question that I want you to consider as we get going. And I don't want you to raise your hand. Just think about this question. Have you ever looked at yourself in the mirror and thought to yourself, I wish this part of my body was a little different? Maybe this feature or that feature. Maybe you wished that you had a little more of this, a little less of that. And it doesn't help that ads and commercials, they constantly remind us of just how imperfect our bodies are. You know, when we look at ads and commercials, when we see magazine covers, when we watch our health, beauty, and fitness experts on YouTube, the thoughts that often go through our minds are these. One, I could never look like that. And simultaneously, I got to do everything I can to look like that. So those are some of the thoughts that go through our minds. Everywhere we turn, we're bombarded with images, pictures, ads, commercials, telling us just how imperfect our bodies are. And of course, you and I know that there's no such thing as the perfect body out there. Even those we might think have the perfect body, if you ask them, I'm sure they would say that they are dissatisfied with their bodies. Today, when we think about the subject of the body, and in particular, body image, it has been the source of so much grief, so much anxiety, so much pain for so many people in our world. And yet, as imperfect as our physical bodies may be, and as much as we'd like our bodies to look different, you know, the remarkable thing is that the Bible refers to the church as the body of Christ. When you go through Romans and 1 Corinthians and Ephesians and Colossians, did you know that over 30 times the Apostle Paul makes references to the body of Christ. As Paul reached out for a metaphor that would adequately describe the church of Jesus, time and time again, the one metaphor that he kept coming back to was the body. You know, Paul chose something as imperfect as the human body to describe something as marvelous as the church. And today we're going to see why that was. We're going to continue our series, Portraits of the Church. And I've titled my message this morning, Body Features. Body Features. And since we're going to talk a lot about the body today, this morning I want to share with you three features of the body of Christ. Three features that mark the body of Christ. And we'll start with this. The first feature is commonality. You know, as members of the body of Christ, we all share something in common. And commonality is powerful, isn't it? When you share something in common with someone else, it is a powerful thing. You know, in any area of life, when you find something, that one thing that you can share in common with someone else, it automatically creates this bond. You identify, you relate, you feel close to that person. I invite you to turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We'll be in verses 12 through 26 this morning. So in your Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and I'm going to begin by reading the first verse in this passage, verse 12. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church of Corinth, he talks about this subject of the body. And in verse 12, he says this, "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ." We'll stop there. In the previous passage, Paul had just finished talking about the subject of spiritual gifts. And this was the perfect segue to talk about the body of Christ. You see, there were a number of people at the church of Corinth who were abusing their spiritual gifts. They were using their spiritual gifts for their own personal gain, selfishly. And so Paul uses this opportunity to talk about the body. And Paul reminds them that spiritual gifts were always meant for the common good. That's very important to know. Whenever we talk about spiritual gifts, it's always meant for the common good. It's not merely to display your own personal talents as an end in and of itself. And so this provided Paul the opportunity to talk about the importance of commonality in the body of Christ. You know, commonality, as I said a minute ago, it is just so powerful. You might come across a perfect stranger, but when you find that one thing in common, boy, I'll tell you, that bond can be very strong. You know, when I'm out and about, and when I see someone else wearing a UCLA sweatshirt, you know what I automatically think? I think, there goes a good guy. I like that guy. I may know nothing else about him, but he's wearing a UCLA sweatshirt, so he's a good guy. In fact, just this past Thursday, on my daily morning run, I was out and about in my community. And I had just finished preparing this section of my message when I went out for my run. And you can't make this up, but I ran across a young man who was running the other way. And sure enough, he had a UCLA sweatshirt on. And guess what? We both simultaneously just kind of waved at each other. And then we went on our ways. But then about 15 minutes later, I ran across him again on my run. And this time, I couldn't help myself, but I just smiled even bigger. And I waved even bigger. I almost stopped to do an A-clap for you Bruins out there. And speaking of UCLA, our men's basketball team, we came oh so close to making it to the championship game in the Final Four. It was a heartbreaking loss to Gonzaga. But you know what? Did you know that before that game, very few people, if any, gave UCLA a chance to even come close to that game? But we were ahead most of that game. And it was a heartbreaking loss. But I'll tell you what, I never felt prouder about a team in the midst of a loss. And so right after the game was over, I posted on my Facebook page how proud I was of the UCLA basketball team. And right away, people started to like my post and comment on my post, all my fellow Bruins. And some of these people I had not heard from in years, but they liked it and they commented on it. Why? Because when you share something in common, there's a bond that can't be broken. This happens in any area of life. Hobbies, interests, think about education, careers, life stages. Parents who stroll down the street, when they see another parent with a stroller, there's an automatic bond. As I mentioned last week, we were away. Joanne and I, we were on a road trip with our third child. That's Kingston, our German Shepherd. And we made stops to Sedona, Arizona. Beautiful place. We went all the way up to the Grand Canyon, hung out in Flagstaff. And every single place we went, everywhere we went, so many people, they just wanted to stop us and say, "Can I pet your dog?" And they would make all these encouraging comments. "What a handsome dog. What a beautiful dog." Some people, they even let him lick their face. All they wanted to do was pet him. You know, at the Grand Canyon, he was by far the most popular visitor in the park. We couldn't go more than 5 yards without somebody stopping us and asking us, "Can we pet him? He's so handsome." You know, dog lovers have this automatic bond with each other. We have our mascot dog over there, too. Is he here? There he is. And so dog lovers have this bond. Pet lovers share this bond with one another. You can strike up a conversation with people you'd otherwise never imagine you'd stop and talk to on the street when you share a bond. And that holds true for any subgroup out there. When you have a common bond, it opens the door for a closeness to be shared. You know, our bond here at E-Free Church, our bond is Jesus Christ. And no matter our individual personalities, no matter our backgrounds, no matter what our interests may be, we all share the bond of Christ. And that bond has the power to overcome any obstacle. Amen? The bond of Jesus Christ has the power to overcome any obstacle out there. And Paul reminded the Corinthians of this very fact. Look at verse 13. He says this: "For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, all were made to drink of one spirit." I think back to our Easter drive-through experience a couple weeks ago. We had so many volunteers. We counted upwards of 150 volunteers exercising their gifts and talents. I see many of you here. I know many of you worshiping online. You were here exercising your gifts. And what we saw was this. We saw a commonality. And within each station, we saw common gifts being displayed. And it was a beautiful portrait of the variety of gifts and talents here at our church, all under the common bond of Jesus Christ. And I was thinking a lot about our Easter event. What we saw at our Easter drive-thru experience was simply this. It was a beautiful microcosm of the church. That's what it was. It was a wonderfully amazing microcosm of what a church is. We're all called to share something in common. And for us as a church, that common bond is Jesus Christ. There's a second feature of the body of Christ. It's this: diversity. Diversity is a second feature of the body of Christ. So when we look at a portrait, and when we look at the portrait of the church, we can study all the features, and right next to commonality is the feature of diversity. Let's continue on in verses 14 through 16. Paul says this: "For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' that would not make it any less a part of the body." Now, we all know this fact, that there are no two identical bodies out there, right? You will not find two identical bodies. In fact, even identical twins don't have identical bodies. Bodies come in all shapes and sizes. But I'm going to take it one step further and say this. Even within the same body, your body, my body, there are no two identical features. Your right hand is different from your left hand. Take a look at them. You'll see. They're different. Your fingers are different. You know, my pinky finger on my right hand is very different than my pinky finger on my left hand, mainly because when I was younger, I fell and I broke my right pinky finger and it went out like an L. Sorry for that graphic image. But now it's never the same. They look very different. Some people have a hard time buying shoes because one foot is slightly bigger than the other. There are no two features on your body that are identical. Did you know that diversity is not just an accidental attribute of the body? It's part of God's master plan. You see, if God knows the number of hairs on our head, then surely He knows that your right hand is different from your left hand. And that's not by mistake. Surely He knows that one foot looks different than the other. And certainly it wasn't a mistake when He created some people with different colored eyes. Some people have two different colored eyes. That is not by mistake. The parallel is this: diversity in the body of Christ is not only beautiful, it is absolutely essential. Paul talks about that in verses 17 and 18. He says this: "If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as He chose." Now, this past week, as I was preparing this section of this message, I really had to pause. And I had to let these two verses sink in. Let's think about this. God has arranged every single one of us in our church. Every single one of us. None of us is here by accident. And more importantly, church, none of us is here by mistake. Now, I know that you think, well, that's a given, Tim. That's the pastoral thing to say. But here's the reality. You know, whenever there's internal conflict within a church, which there was in Corinth, it's often tempting for its members to think something along these lines. Why is that person making my life so difficult? That's never happened to any of you, right? But let's think about that. Think about that question. Throughout the course of your life at church, it's going to happen. If it hasn't happened yet, it's going to happen. Because the reality is this. The closer you get to someone, the more vulnerable you become. And the closer you get to others, the more you're prone to be disappointed. And so oftentimes, when the going gets tough, we often think, why is that person making my life so difficult? We might even go as far as to think in our minds, church would be so much easier without that person. Most of us can think of at least one person who requires extra grace on our part, right? And yes, I want you to know that I know that that absolutely includes pastors who need extra grace. I know at times we've thought, why can't he or she think more like me? Well, if our churches are not careful, we could just end up being a bunch of the same body parts. We'd have a bunch of tongues, or a bunch of hands, or a bunch of eyes, and that's it. And that's no body. That is no body whatsoever. A body isn't made up of just a bunch of body parts, of the same body parts. It's a combination of all these parts working together. You know, the goal of the church is never to get all Christians to look alike, dress alike, talk alike. That is not the body of Christ. That sounds more like a cult. God has designed each of us so uniquely and so wonderfully. And how we demonstrate our faith, it'll differ from person to person. Diversity is essential to the well-being of the body. Look again at verses 19 and 21 now. Paul talks about this. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again, the head to the feet, I have no need of you. I want to go back to our Easter drive-thru experience again. If all our gifts were the same, guess what? We would have only had one station. And it would have been a very quick drive-thru. And quite frankly, probably very boring. If all the gifts are the same, we just all congregate together, and that's it, with no variety, no diversity. Diversity is absolutely essential to the body of Christ. And the Bible makes it very clear that each of us in our diversity plays a vital role in that body. We are indispensable. Look at verses 22 to 24. Paul continues. He says, on the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it. Now I'm going to stop here and kind of unpack this section. There's a lot going on here in these three verses. And it's important that we understand what Paul is saying and what he is not saying, because many a person has misunderstood this section. In verse 22, Paul is referring to the internal organs. The internal organs are essential in helping to regulate the bodily functions. That's why they're protected. But at this point, what we don't want to do is this. We don't want to allegorize this section. Try to think of all the weak people in church. That's the temptation. We read this passage and we think, oh, who's the weakling at church? But even he or she is necessary to the church. That's not what Paul is saying here. He's simply giving us an analogy, not some cryptic allegory that we need to decipher. Who's the weak one? Who's the weak one? I need to go rescue that person. That's not what Paul's saying. We are all equally important and essential in the body of Christ. And then in verses 23 and 24, Paul's referring to the male and female body parts. They're given special attention and they're covered up. They're treated with greater modesty. The bottom line in this section here is this. Every single part of the body plays an important role. The problem was the Corinthians, they weren't living this out. They treated some better than others. They elevated some and kept others down. And that's why Paul uses even their own language to remind them of their error. And we can learn from their mistake. One author says this, I love this quote. Diversity leads to disunity when the members compete with one another. But diversity leads to unity when the members care for one another. I'll say that again. Diversity leads to disunity when the members compete with one another. Diversity leads to unity when the members care for one another. We have a choice. We can either compete against or care for one another in the body of Christ. In sports, when teammates begin to compete against each other, you can guarantee that's the beginning of a breakup. Sometimes teams who are experiencing dynasties, they have internal conflicts, and when they start to compete against each other for playing time, for notoriety, for prestige, sure enough, that dynasty is coming down. Same thing happens with musical bands, right? That's why we have that phrase, break up the band. Break up the band. And that is why, church, diversity in and of itself is not the ultimate solution. Diversity in and of itself is not the ultimate goal. Just because an organization features a diverse group of people on its website doesn't mean that it is a healthy, unified group. You can have a completely disunified, diverse group of people. Again, diversity leads to disunity when the members compete with one another. Diversity leads to unity when the members care for one another. In other words, when we root for one another, when we cheer one another on, when we want the best for one another. You see, because we're in it together. And that leads us directly now to the final feature of the church. It's this. Mutuality. Commonality, diversity, mutuality. The dictionary defines mutuality this way. It's the sharing of a feeling, an action, or a relationship between two or more parties. That's mutuality. Have you ever had a toothache? It is a miserable, miserable feeling. The thing about a toothache is this. A toothache isn't only isolated to the tooth, is it? When you have a miserable toothache, you want to do nothing. You can't work. You certainly can't play. A toothache affects the entire being. How about knee pain? If you've ever had knee pain, here's what happens. You start to favor that leg. And by favoring that leg, your other leg hurts. And then your hip hurts. And then your back hurts. And then your shoulders. And then your neck. It's because it's all connected. Likewise, in the body of Christ, we are all mutually connected. Paul talks about this in the final two verses. He says this in verses 25 and 26. That there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. I want to take a moment to encourage you, if you haven't done so in a while, visit our website, and under the heading of Next Steps, you'll find a number of wonderful ministries. Read about Rooted. You know that Rooted is kicking off a week from today. Read about our life groups. Read about the many care and support groups that we have here at our church. You know, in fact, it's possible that some here today, watching online, it's possible that you may not even know about the many care and support groups in our church. On our website, when you go to the care and support groups page, you'll find several groups that can come alongside you. If you're watching from home right now, you see that on your screen. If you're here in person, I know it's small here on our monitors, but take an opportunity. Go on your phone, go on your website back in your computer, and look at the care and support groups page on our website. Maybe you've recently experienced the loss of a loved one. Maybe you're seeking counsel or in need of resources on the subject of domestic abuse. Maybe you or a loved one is facing cancer. Maybe you're suffering through infertility. Maybe you've had a miscarriage. Maybe even a stillbirth. Maybe you're finding it difficult to even getting chores done around the house because of an illness or some physical limitation. We don't have to go it alone. I encourage you, browse that page. And even if you yourself may not be in need of one of those care groups, you might know somebody who does. Familiarize yourself with that page. If one member suffers, we all suffer together. If one member is honored, we all rejoice together. It's a team effort. Now, I know many of you have heard me share this. That near where we live, we have these open fields and we have these nature preserves. What that means is every morning when I go out and about, I get to see a flock of geese take flight. Every morning, I get to see these beautiful birds take off in this perfect V formation. And it's quite the sight. And they don't do it just because it looks cool. I mean, it does look cool. But that's not the reason why they do it. The reason why the geese fly in this V formation is because it helps them in their flight. Did you know the scientists have discovered that flying in the V formation adds a minimum of 70% greater flying range than if a goose were to fly alone? 70% greater flying range. So here's what happens. The bird in the front takes the burden. But when it gets tired, it rotates back. And the next bird comes up and takes on the heavy load. And they keep rotating and rotating, and they share the burden, which allows them all to benefit. And the remarkable thing about a flock of geese is that when a goose gets sick in that formation and has to fall out, the beautiful picture is this. Two other geese fall out together with that bird. And they'll stay with that bird until that bird is well enough to join the others. They wait with that bird, they nurse that bird, and together they join the rest of their team. What a remarkable picture of how God has designed his creation to work together. And that's how God has designed the body of Christ to work together. It's really a beautiful portrait of the church. And I want to close by just saying this. I thank God for the common bond that we share here at our church in Jesus Christ. I thank God for the beautifully diverse community that we share here in our church. And I thank God for the mutual care that is so evident. I hope you're encouraged as well. Would you bow with me? Thank you for this body of Christ, Lord. This beautiful body of Christ that you have assembled, that you have chosen so strategically. And thank you for the reminder through your word that we share a common bond in Jesus Christ. Thank you for the beautiful diversity that we get to experience. And thank you that we mutually affect one another. You're so good to us, Lord. You're so good to our church. We cannot thank you enough. And help us, Lord, to take that love and to demonstrate it to those around us. We love you. We thank you. And all God's people said, amen.